I don't even think we charge, do we? Luke chapter 2, or Luke chapter 8. We're continuing to go through some of the fruits of the Spirit. We've been through love, joy, and now today we're going to look at peace. But before we go too much farther, I need to go to this little passage right here, Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22, it says this: "One day Jesus said to his disciple, 'Let's go over to the other side of the lake.' So they got into the boat and set out, and they sailed, and he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we're going to drown.' He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. 'Where is your faith?' he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, 'Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him.'" Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you and praise you today for how you can continue to speak to our lives in some of the most unusual circumstances of life. And even in the everyday, ordinary circumstances, you speak so well. And Lord, I want to thank you and praise you today that as we look into your word, it will bring a peace to the storm. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you that as we look at your word, it has the potential and power to continue to remind and birth in us things that we need to know and understand in a greater measure, not only for today, but for the days that are ahead. For Lord, what we have known is great, but what we need to know today is even more important, even if it's just a reminder. So we just want to thank you and praise you for what your word says. Thank you that what you say is true, no matter how I feel, no matter what I see, no matter what's going on, you will not ever change. And Lord, that's a great attribute that we can rest and rely on. And so this day I pray that as we speak your word, it has the power and the potential to go forth and bear fruit in each one's life as needed. And so we just love you and thank you for that. In the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus we pray, amen. Literally, I rarely get pictures, but as I was preparing this message, I saw lots of tornadoes going above people's heads this morning. Just tornadoes going above their heads like storms. And, you know, we've been going through the love. We went two weeks ago, we went through love. Last week, we went through joy. This week we're going to go through peace, but the Lord keeps reminding me that even though Jesus was in the boat with these disciples, he was going across as he directed. Your storm is not by accident. Jesus went directly knowing there was going to be a storm. And he had to teach his disciples something that no matter what you walk through, you will be okay if you trust him. Life is not always peaches and cream, roses, and all the other fine chocolates of America, like Snickers or whatever, you know. But the reality is that you will face things that you will come across. There are things that cause you to many times have an emotional eruption or emotional something happen, but in the process of that, there has to be something inside of you that's greater than that emotion, which should be the Spirit of God and his word. Because the Spirit of God and the Word of God will absolutely bring a calmness and a peaceness, or a peaceness. My wife would not be happy with that one. Calmness and peace in the midst of whatever it is you're facing. Now, while we're sitting here today, that's easy, isn't it? But when you're literally facing, like this family, every single one of them has had Lyme disease. That's a storm. When you go to the doctor and you find out that everybody in your family has this, that's a storm. When you face lots of different things that come across your way, no matter if it's financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, family-wise, it don't matter. There's storms that come, but I find it interesting in this storm right here that Jesus said, One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side." What about that? He knew there was going to be a storm. He knew everything. But yet, being a man of obedience to the work of the Holy Spirit, he walked right into that storm, knowing that his Father would be able to speak through him and that storm would be at peace. We need to get a hold of who God is. We need to understand that what kind of God we serve, that no matter what I face, I can have love, I can have joy, I can have peace, I can have patience, I can have self-control, I can have goodness, I can have all these wonderful fruits of the Spirit coming out of my life, even in the midst of whatever's happening in our lives. Now, these guys walked with Jesus. I haven't ever walked with Jesus. I've walked with him in the Spirit, but they walked in the physical with him. And some people say, man, if I could do that, I wouldn't have any trouble. Well, they did. There were storms of life that came, and you know, no matter what storm came Jesus' way, he was never worried. Isn't that amazing? So if that's the way Jesus or God worked in Jesus' life, and we're heirs and co-heirs with Christ, we have the same thing available to us, that when we see the storm, we see that there's something greater that's able to calm the storm, that's able to help me walk through the storm. You know, the Bible does say in Psalms 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley," doesn't say walk on the mountaintops, does it? "Yea, though I walk through the valley," how are you going to do that? You're going to take one step at a time. No matter what happens, never quit walking, because if you quit, anybody can do that. Jesus never did. He's your example. He's the one you look to. He's the one that you gather strength from, because if he can walk through the garden, if he can walk through the persecution, if he can walk through all that as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power, guess what you can do? You can do the same thing. You can do the same thing, but you have to come to the place where you realize that no matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter what you hear, it's not going to change your perspective of who he is. And that is challenging, because when you face difficulties of many kinds, you'll find that there's something inside of you that comes out, whether it's a weakness or a fear or a worry or something. But at that moment, that's when you need to cancel all the work of the enemy to make sure that the work of the Spirit continues to manifest, just like this day. He got into the boat, set out. As they sailed, well, now think about this. As they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. Nobody else seemed to, but he did. When the storms of life come your way and my way, I really think that God's not sleeping. I don't know that he's really sleeping, but in this circumstance, he was. He literally has no fears, because he knows who his Father is. He knows what he can do. And when that happens, guess what? When you and I walk through whatever it is we're facing, we can literally speak to those things just like Jesus did and say, "Peace, be still." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided. Do you ever wonder where the storm came from? Was it from God or was it from the devil? I'll let you think about that one. Interesting, isn't it? But he rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. You know, literally this morning, I just believe that God wants me to speak into the heavenlies of your storms. The Word of God, the truth of God's Word. Because I don't care what you're facing, it's not bigger than God. It's not bigger than God. The only way your storm becomes bigger than God is because your eyes and your focus is on your storm, not on the one who has his hands' ability to calm the storm. We have to lift up our eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Who greater than that can you put your trust in? Who greater than that can you trust and rely on when you're walking through your storm, that if you lift up your eyes to the hills? Did you notice that in the psalmist, he said, I had to lift up my eyes to where I was above my storm. I had to lift my eyes off my storm and get it up where I knew that there was help. And that's what you and I did. There's a scripture that's not coming to mind, so I'll forget it. But he said, lift up your eyes to the hills. So when I lift up my eyes, what do I see? I see God. I see this amazing God that has the ability to give me the authority to speak to my storm. Well, we can ask God to take away the storm, but who brought the storm anyway? It could be just a manifestation of the work of God that you needed to walk through. It could be a tactic of the enemy to get you distracted. It could be a lot of things. But no matter which way it comes, he's given you and I the authority to speak to our storm. Why? Because Jesus was able to speak to his storm. And if we're co-heirs and brothers with him in spirit, then guess what? I've got the same authority to speak to my storm. I've got the same authority to speak to the things that absolutely need to be happening in my life. So you and I need to learn to take that authority that God has given to us, just as Jesus did on that day, and speak to that storm. And so it's very, very important for us to look at the examples in Scripture. Just a few that we probably know quite a bit about, but in all reality, I'm not sure we think about it too much. Do you know how long it took Noah to build the ark? 100 years. Do you know that it never rained? So can you imagine the ridicule and the people that came and ridiculed him for 100 years? And yet in the midst of that, he had peace knowing that God spoke to him. He knew that God knew there was going to be people that ridiculed him. God knew there was not going to be, even as big as this boat was, can you imagine in Noah's mind, Lord, man, this big boat must be a lot of people going to be on this boat. You know how many there was? Just a handful. So it wasn't so much that Noah was doing it for any other reason other than what God told him to do. And in the midst of all the things that was going on, he still had to send somebody out and go see if there was any clouds in the sky. Isn't that something? I mean, here's 100 years put in the last peg, and it's like, okay, Lord, we're done with this part, now what? And then they waited, and they waited, and then pretty soon it began to rain. As soon as it began to rain, pretty soon God told him to close up the ark, and there was a salvation in that, for those that were in there. But the reality is that he had peace in the midst of building. I never see Noah really rattled in anything that he was doing. For 100 years, he was establishing what God was doing, no matter what anybody else did or didn't. You and I have to learn to hear the voice of God, that we begin to do what God is asking, no matter anybody else is going with or not. Not just to be your individual, but to be doing exactly what God is saying. Why? The Bible says in the last days, many, their love for God will wax cold. There's going to be a lot of people going the wrong direction. So if you're a crowd follower this morning, I need you to get out of that. I need you to get strong enough that you know when God is speaking to you, so that you don't miss the opportunity that God wants for you and I to be with him in that day when he calls us home, whether we get to die here or not. So we need to understand that when God speaks, we're willing to do whatever it is God's asking us to do. When I was in last fall, when I went to a pastor's conference, Lee Grady, the writer of the Charisma magazine for 18 years, spoke over my life. And one of the things he told me, he says, you have been faithful when many others haven't. And I looked at that and I just said, Lord, you know, the only reason I'm faithful is because of you. There is no other way to be faithful. I can't be faithful any other way. And this man doesn't know me from Adam. He doesn't know what I do. He doesn't know anything about me. And it's like, okay. But I'll be honest with you, the work that's done here hasn't been that hard. And the reason it hasn't been that hard is because God's been in it. God's been leading and God's been directing. There have been times in my flesh where I've looked and it's like, Lord, are you sure you want me to go that route? And he'll specifically say, yep, this is where we're going. And so I'm faithful to do that. And I honestly want to let you know that I don't say this out of pride. I say this out of complete humility. This work is not mine. And everything that God wants done, I'm going to do my best to orchestrate what he wants. And I will not compromise on that. And the reason being is because if he can't do what he wants with this church body, let's go home and do something else. Why are we wasting our time doing everything that God's not pleased with and think that it's okay with God? So I'm geared and I'm driven by the fact that there is only one person to please today. I have an audience of one today, and it's not you. You have an audience of one, and it's not me. The only audience we have to please this morning is Jesus Christ, him crucified, yet risen, seated at the right hand of the Father. That is the only one you and I are here to honor and worship today. And it needs to stay that way. The length of time God has for New Life Fellowship, it needs to stay that way. Why? Because if he's not the focus of what we're doing it for nothing. Don't worship and honor him in vain. Don't go, if you ever want to do a neat word study, do that where they said, don't do this in vain in Scripture. And I tell you what, it's amazing how much people are continuing to do and God's not in it, and yet we think God's pleased. I want to encourage you this morning, hear what God's saying. Begin to continue to do what God wants done. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 30. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, it says this, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." A heart at peace gives life to the body. So when I have the peace of God upon my life, guess what? Then there's life in my body. When I don't have peace in my life, I'm not saying it's envy, but God didn't create me not to have peace. God didn't create you not to have peace. The Bible says one of his characteristics in Isaiah 9:6 is this, he is the Prince of Peace. That means he's the king, he's the master of peace, he knows all about peace. He knows everything about peace, because if he can have peace in the midst of what he walked through, then you and I can have peace in what we walk through, and yet he was the Prince of Peace. So when I invite Jesus Christ into me, into my life, and allow him to be Lord, King, and Master, and Savior, I allow him to be that, then he's going to be my peace that passes all understanding. He's going to give life to my bones. And an interesting note that someone once said, many times this person has prayed with lots of people, and they said they prayed with people who had cancer in the bone. And the only thing that he could come up with scripturally that backs that up is envy rots the bones. Isn't that interesting? That the cancer of bones can literally be maybe the envy of the life. I don't know. It's just, I'm not saying that's doctrine. I'm just saying that is an interesting perspective. But if I want to stay away from envy, then I have to consistently look at the other part of that scripture verse. It says, a heart at peace. Now, why are you and I going to have peace? How are we going to have peace in this world? We're going to have peace in this world by knowing who God is, and then every day allowing him to be the Lord of my circumstances, to be the king of my circumstances, and be so directed by his Spirit that no matter what happens, whether good or bad, whether we walk right into a boat with Jesus into a storm, I can consistently lift up my eyes to him and have peace in the midst of what I'm facing, rather than chaos and fear and worry and all the things that will come to my emotions. Now, honestly, for myself, I have never been to a place where I have been just literally captivated by fear. I can honestly say that. Have I had fearful moments? Yes. But I have not let that fear be so captivated that all I could think about was the fear of the circumstance I just experienced. But the reality is that no matter how big or little my fear is not something from God. Being afraid of your circumstance is not something from God. The Bible says fear is, for him, is an awe and reverence for him. Where I honor him and I awe and reverence, and because of that, my relationship with him is I will not speak against him. I will not do anything against him. I will not hurt somebody in view of who he is. Why? Because I awe and reverence him, not because I'm scared and spitless of him. I can walk into this relationship with him because I honor him and I fear him. And he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. Well, when I was growing up, I was literally scared of my dad. It didn't make me want to go close to him. It wanted me to stay far away and keep him as happy as we can so we didn't have to deal with more fear. Now, that was in his younger years, not always all through his life. That was in his younger years. Me growing up, a very passive, very willing to do whatever I need to make you happy kind of person, that was easy to make him happy, and I just stayed away from not doing anything he didn't like. But it didn't create a relationship. It didn't build an intimacy that I would have loved to have with my dad more. But we did have those moments where we did have that, but the reality is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And that kind of thing comes as I have peace in my heart, knowing that I can approach God because I've gotten rid of everything. When I come to the altar and I get rid of all my sin out of the way, I can go to him with confidence and say, Daddy, 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 did you hear? Did you see what I did today? Daddy, did you see? Did I do okay, Dad? You can go to him and you have that confidence saying, wow, I know I did right. I know I did what I asked. Every Sunday when I'm done, I go to him and I say, Lord, how'd I do? Because I know I'm still in my flesh. And if there's anything that God corrects in me so that I make sure that I do this right the next time, do it right for him, and I do it only for him. You notice I don't come to you and ask you if I did all right. You probably, I may not want to hear your opinion. But I go to him and I get an honest opinion. Or I get truth. And so I go to him and say, Lord, did I? And if there's anything I miss, I always repent of that. If there's anything I added more that I wasn't supposed to, I repent of that. And why do I do that? Because I want to make sure that this life, I can enjoy this peace that he brings. Because if I do everything he's asked, there's peace there. There's peace in knowing I'm doing what he's asked. I can enjoy this avenue of peace that when I drive in my car, when I'm going about where I'm going, or I'm at home, I can have this peace because I'm doing what he asked me to do. That's what I want, and that's what I pray that you want, is that peace that God brings in the midst of whatever it is you're facing. What was it that caused Elijah, when he was facing the prophets, to have peace and confidence about what was going on? What was it that caused Daniel to be able to sleep in the lion's den? He was thrown into the lion's den, and then they found him and had to wake him in the morning. What kind of peace is that? That's the kind of peace I want. That's the kind of peace that speaks that Daniel knew who his father was, because he three times a day he went and he prayed to his heavenly father no matter what anybody said, and he knew his father because he spent time with him. And now when he got into that difficult circumstance, he didn't go, oh my God, what am I going to do? Now you might have an experience like that where you get emotional, but you've got to bring those emotions back under the work of the Holy Spirit and realize that you have a God that has pulled people out of the lion's den, out of the fire, out of the three Hebrew children. I mean, you look at all of these examples and you just go to him and say, Lord, you're my strength, you're my sustainer, you're my everything. I trust in you. And in that place, there's this peace that literally comes all over you. It's just an amazing work of his Spirit. Turn over to Isaiah 26, one of my favorite scriptures. I love this scripture. People probably get tired of me using it, but I don't care. I love this scripture. It's amazing. And it's very specific. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, or I think the King James says stayed on him, because he trusts in you. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. I mean, it just gives you something of substance when you read those things. It causes you to realize that, you know, there isn't anything I should worry or fear about. So the reality of fear most of the time comes because we feel like we haven't done what we're supposed to be doing most of the time. If you're not doing what you feel God's asking you to do, then today's a great day to start. It might cost you something to get out of what you're in because you got in without his approval. But once you get out of those things that God never asked you to be in, you begin to experience that peace. Some of you probably have to change jobs. Some of you probably have to get rid of some things that cost you something to get, but all of a sudden God says, I don't need that anymore. And you'll be able to experience this peace that God brings in the midst of whatever it is you're walking through. Why? Because God loves to bring peace to us. And I want to encourage you, it's important for us to grab this kind of peace. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4, another one of my favorite scriptures. It's very familiar, but I think many people read it and don't grasp it. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 6. Actually, let's jump back to verse 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, when aren't you supposed to rejoice? Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice. So when aren't you supposed to rejoice? Isn't that fun? It's fun when it hits. Then he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So this peace that God brings is literally like a helmet that guards your mind. And this helmet that guards your mind guards you from everything that would not cause you to have peace. But here's the problem. Most of the time, we allow too much information into our computer not to have peace. We don't take that information captive and make it obedient. Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. So if I don't take those thoughts captive and I allow them to continue to mull in my brain with freedom and liberty, what do you expect's going to come out of chaos? What do we expect's going to come out of disaster? The reality is it's not going to be peace. But so then we have to go to the part, well, if God is doing his part, he is the Prince of Peace, so where's the problem? The problem is right between my ears. That I am not disciplining my mind enough to take captive those thoughts so that I can continue and walk in this peace that Jesus Christ died for, that he can walk through. Many people walk through all kinds of things like we've talked about in the Old Testament. And even when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, he spoke to that storm and said, peace, be still, quiet. And that storm went, pfft. And they were amazed. Why? Because he used the authority that the Father had given him. And as he did that, there was peace. There are going to be times when you're going to have to battle spiritually, and you're going to have to fight this battle like Jesus did, and speak to your storm and tell it to be quiet, because Jesus has given you the authority to speak to them and say, "Peace, be still." And that's what I'm saying in the spirit realm today. I'm not saying that you don't, you may not have any control over the circumstances that you're going through, but I literally believe that what God showed me this morning is I'm speaking to those tornadoes above you, and I'm just saying, peace, 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 peace. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. And I believe that peace is going to just cause your storm to just level out. I don't know why God would give us that opportunity to this morning, but obviously it's on his mind. I normally don't do those things. I normally don't have those kind of pictures. God doesn't usually show me those things. So when I do, I really recognize them. But he says, peace that passes all understanding. That's why that peace has to come from down here, not between your ears. The peace of God has to come from the Spirit of God. Why? Because the only way you and I can have peace in the midst of a storm is by receiving everything the Father has given us. And once I get it down in here, then I know that God will be faithful. He does hear my prayer, and everything will be okay. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I see. I don't care what's happening around me. I'm going to have peace. It is that steady line of God, just like the joy of the Lord. It's just like a steady line of the joy of the Lord is my strength. In the midst of building the walls, Nehemiah was facing all kinds of opposition, and because of that, it wasn't a peaceful situation. So he said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, here, the peace that passes all understanding guards my heart and my mind from turning my thoughts against God rather than turning my heart to God. God wants me to enjoy this peace that passes all understanding, because it does guard my heart and it guards my mind. Anxious, fear, and worry, all those things have to go. They cannot stay. They cannot be a part of everything that goes on in my life. Why? Because God says that they will rot my bones. They will take away from me what God wants to put in me. One more scripture and then we're done. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul evidently knew this peace because of all he had faced and all he had experienced. If you think about what he went through, being beaten and all those things, and yet he consistently walked back and forth right into whatever God had for him. But when he writes to Timothy, when he writes to the Thessalonians, his closing final greetings in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, he says this: "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." The Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And if I were to pray anything for you today, that would be it. That you and I would experience this peace at all times and in every way. That covers my whole life. That covers your whole life. That you would experience this peace. Is it available to you? Yes! If you haven't experienced it, there's only one problem. It's you. It's not God's fault, because he's the author of peace. He loves to give peace. So when I don't have peace, then I've got to make sure that everything that runs through here is taken captive and made obedient to Christ, so I can walk with him and know his voice and know who he is and experience the same saving power that Daniel experienced, that Abraham experienced, that Joseph experienced, all of them. They experienced this wonderful, amazing peace. And how did that come? Not by sitting worrying. Joseph never spent one day saying, "Oh Lord, why do I have to be in prison for 18 years? Are you ever going to get me out of here?" He never did that. Right where he was at, he absolutely stood firm, and all of a sudden God just moved him right out into being a leader of a country. 18 years he was in prison. How bad would your attitude be? What would you be looking at? But there was something in Joseph that was greater than his circumstances. There was something that was in Daniel greater than his circumstances. There was something in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego greater than their circumstances. Paul, there was something greater than his circumstances. Jesus, there was something in him greater than his circumstances. And that's what you and I need. We need that something greater, which we know is Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, and all the wonderful gifts that come out of being continually connected to Jesus Christ. And out of that will grow in us those things, those fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against those things, there is no law. That's what God wants to develop in me and in you. And I pray today that you get to enjoy the peace of the Lord today. Would you stand and pray with me? Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Can't remember the rest of it, but I love that part. Sorry about that, but just there is wonderful peace coming down from God, from His throne room today. Would you open up your heart and just receive that peace? Sometimes, not knowing everyone, obviously, here this morning, I don't know where you're at with Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's why you don't have peace. So open up your heart and just say, "Look, Jesus, I want you to be a part of the Lord, King, and Master, and Savior and of my life." And watch Him come in, and you'll begin to experience that peace. Yeah, sometimes if you're carrying things that you're not supposed to carry, you won't have peace. It's too heavy. It wears you out. It causes you to be tired and crabby, and pretty soon you're taking it out on those that love you, and God didn't ask you to do that. He asked you to cast all your cares on Him. So if you're carrying something this morning that you're not supposed to carry, then unload it at Jesus' feet and experience the peace. If there's circumstances that are out of your control and you have no idea how you're going to fix them, good. God didn't ask you to fix them. He said He would. And until He tells you to say something or do something, I would just be at peace and pray. The last time anybody ever motivated somebody to do something because they wanted to, usually it fell apart in 2 weeks or later. So just let God be in control. Let the great ability of who God is be in control. Father, this morning I speak to those tornadoes, those storms that people are facing here, even here this morning. I pray, Lord, that as we speak peace and rebuke the wind and the waves and the things that are causing those things that people are experiencing, causing their fear and doubt and worry to rise. Lord, I just speak peace to those areas today. And we just say to the enemy, he's not going to be successful. We say to the work of our own flesh, we're not going to go there anymore. We're going to surrender our flesh to the work of the Spirit and enjoy the peace of the Lord. And Lord, even if it's a storm orchestrated by your hand, we're going to say, "Lead on, O King Eternal." And we're going to have peace. So, Lord, I just pray that for each and every one this morning, that peace would come upon each and every one in abundance, in just a powerful way, so that they can just breathe, they can relax, and yet be obedient to everything that you're asking, because they know that you have everything in control. So, Lord, I thank you for the peace that you bring to us today. Thank you that it guards our hearts and our mind in Christ Jesus. And I just look forward to watching the peace of God continue to cause us to be at that wonderful place where no matter what happens around us, we're okay. We're okay. And so, Lord, we just trust you today. And we thank you and praise you because of who you are and what you always have been able to do and will continue to do. And so, Lord, I just thank you for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit this morning, speaking clearly to each and every one of us. And we ask this all in the precious and wonderful and powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. If you need to spend some time with God, please do that before you leave. Don't feel like you have to be in a hurry to leave. But you can spend some time with God and addressing whatever it is the Holy Spirit's made you aware of. And just go with that, okay? Otherwise, have a great and blessed day, and we'll see you again.